Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 7th of September, recording at 9:47 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today, and my goodness, what an exciting day it's been. And Asian stock markets. First, they were quite firm. Indonesia, kind of powerful move to the upside today, but they're all pretty good. Australia up 2.65%. European stock markets very firm today, and we had a number of gains. Most of the gains are in the 3 to 4% category, so buyers storming back. In the Americas, only slightly less dramatic in percentage terms, although the NASDAQ composite, I see, is up just over 3%, 2.86% for the S&P 500, taking it back up to 1198 and change. And Brazil up nearly 3%, so very much the day belonging to the bulls. And long-dated government bond prices, against that background, you would not be surprised to hear that there was some weakness in bond prices, so yields pushing up. Precious metals. The reaction which commenced yesterday with gold running into some selling pressure up near the August high. That continued today. Gold fell at one stage down to 1793 before closing, well, it's trading right now, I should say, at 1817 and 70 cents. And silver, which fell all the way down to 4038, is currently at down slightly at 4167. Platinum down 32 at 1826. Palladium bucked the trend up a little bit at 755. Crude oil up over $3, up nearly $4 in for WTI. Takes it back up to 89.86. And I know the Brent was up over $3 as well. What's that take Brent to? I'm gonna have a little sip of water while I check that. Takes Brent up to 516. Okay. What else to mention? Grains and beans, a little bit weaker in here today. Cotton limit up. All right. Oh, industrial metals, I should mention, they were all showed solid gains. Copper back up to 414.70. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, a move of this magnitude in here, and given the choppy action that we've been seeing, and some since the lows on for stock markets on the 8th and 9th of August, does raise the question here, could markets be in a bottoming out and support building phase in the region of those early August lows? And the answer to that has to be yes. And the reason why it has to be yes is because we are seeing probable catalysts emerge, and they range from Brazil's interest rate cut of last week to talks that maybe India and China might only have one more rate hike, if that. We will see, of course, and so much depends on commodity inflation, which is still going in the wrong direction for the most part. But then more recently and more significantly, we have probable catalysts in that the various central bankers are calling for more stimulative measures. And we are also Well, we're hearing that right across the West. We're getting that in the USA. We're getting it in the UK. Certainly getting that in Euroland. Now, we know that governments and monetary authorities are crisis oriented. I've said that on so many past occasions when we've had similarly weak markets or worse. And there is certainly talk of them rushing in and doing something, and the stock market action clearly indicates that investors are anticipating a further stimulus. And while the ECB has very little ammunition in terms of the interest rate gun and is unlikely to do a U-turn, the ECB is unlikely to do a U-turn and reverse that last little, I think it was a quarter point hike. And the Fed and the Bank of England have no slack in that department, but they can print more money and they can push more money into assets, and governments can come up with more incentives, jobs programs, or whatever to stimulate the economy. Now, one doesn't want to get hung up on or not on the debating point as to whether or not those measures are effective in terms of the overall economies or just pouring water on sand. That's not the point that concerns me right now, but the quick answer would be yes and no. And they would have some mitigating cushioning effect, but probably be misdirected, and the governments and CBs wouldn't get that much bang for their buck. However, what I'm far more concerned about, as I imagine are many of you, is the effect that it might have on markets. Now, in my stock market. In my investment career, dating back to the mid-1960s, I have never seen a stock market that didn't like talk of a stimulus. So that would most definitely be bullish. And if you want some recent evidence, well, just look at the stimulus that we got last November, which stock markets were beginning to anticipate in September and October of last year. And then, of course, look at the stimulus that we got in 2009 and how that helped stock markets to stage dramatic recoveries. So that's unquestionably bullish for equities. And equities are in much better shape than their respective economies in the West, as I've mentioned on so many occasions, banks excepted. Now, therefore, I think we could see if we get the beef, we're getting the rumors, we're getting the talk, we're getting some anticipation of that by markets, as I've just mentioned. If we do get those measures, that would certainly increase the possibility, turn it into a probability. And I'd say at this today, it's at least 50-50 that the August lows do represent the region of a bottoming out and support building program. In other words, bringing the short, sharp bear market, and that's a term you've heard me use, a descriptive term, and heard Owen use on a number of occasions in the last few months. But it would help to certainly to bring that to a close. Now, I need to look at we certainly need to look at the other side of the coin, and if it all goes pear-shaped, for whatever reason, you will see the evidence first in breaches of the rising lows that you can now see on leading charts such as the S&P, and also sustained breaks beneath the August 8th and 9th lows would clearly be a bearish signal, bringing back the probability that the current trading ranges that we are witnessing are distributions beneath the top area prior to an extension of the downward trends. Now, that's still a significant risk, but today in these fast changing markets, I'm inclined to say that it's probably less than 50%. The problem with markets that get comparatively small bear markets, certainly compared to 2008, for instance, and those are very rare, those massive blowouts, is that after a massive blowout, it's much easier to see the clear evidence of capitulation, that and you get the lower valuations. Whereas if you just get a large correction, or what we've described as a short, sharp bear market, that as we've seen for most stock markets, then to be certain that they've bottomed, you really do need to see breaks at minimum in the progression of lower rally highs that have formed. In other words, break the medium-term downward trends that are now evident on so many of the charts. And that takes time, and of course markets will be higher when that will obviously be higher when that happens, assuming that this is a bottoming and support building phase here right now. So, very interesting. Overall, we continue to like fuller money themes a good deal, as you know, and I would expect many of them to be among the leaders. And look at, for instance, ASEAN stock markets, and there are three in particular, which I think they're among the, they may be the only stock market indices that remain above their remain above rising 200-day moving averages, and those are Indonesia, the Philippines, and Thailand. Now, if the short sharp bear market is over, then I would expect those markets to go to new highs, as they've led so often in this in recent cycles. And I would also expect to see a decent bounce in the damaged banking sectors, if only on short covering. But inevitably, there'll also be some bargain hunting, as we saw with Warren Buffett and Bank of America the week before last, I believe. Now, again, if it all goes pear-shaped, you can expect the banks to lead on the downside once again, because they are the focal point of investor concerns, and particularly in the European region. Now, other things that I would expect as a consequence of further quantitative easing in various forms, I would expect to see bond yields, long-dated government bond yields, rise. In the last couple of months, we have seen those plunge down to lows, ridiculous lows, in my opinion, where we saw headlines saying that the lowest, for instance, UK 10-year, the lowest level in 90 years, I think I saw a headline, We've been seeing some record lows in those long-dated government bond yields. Now, that is obviously reflecting a massive flight to so-called safety. And I say so-called because I don't think it's safety at all. We had the Chicago central bank governor for the Federal Reserve today saying, effectively, don't worry about the 2%. I'll be posting this this comment, this article, saying Don't worry about keeping U.S. inflation under 2%. If you look at the John Williams shadow statistics, he'll say that it's probably 6% or higher, but it's down around, I believe, closer to the 1% level on the official Fed statistics. But basically, he's saying err on the side of inflation, and therefore, that should certainly give bondholders, long-dated U.S. government bondholders, pause for thought. And I think that, again, if we see a further and significant monetary stimulus, and of course it's not guaranteed, but that's what people are talking about right now, and that's what a number of central banks are calling for. But if we do see that, it should push those long-dated government bonds higher, as we saw from October last year with the introduction of QE and in anticipation of QE2 in November of last year, and of course we saw it in 2009 as well. So interesting. Now, what about currencies overall? The quantitative easing would, I think, add additional support to the secularly strong currencies, and those are the resources currencies, such as the Australian dollar, and they are also the Asian currencies overall, although I would net out the yen in here because I think that's living on borrowed time, and I think that the new prime minister in Japan will be emboldened to come in and intervene, possibly over the objections of the central bank governor in Japan, but that's a little bit of a tricky situation. But he'll certainly be emboldened by the apparent Swiss success with their intervention yesterday and also late last month. Now, what else to mention? Gold. In the very short term, gold having rallied back up to its August high, where it had seen a clear downside key day reversal. It, of course, wobbled yesterday. That's hardly surprising. Even in the strongest bull markets, when you rally back to a previous high, we can expect some temporary hesitation, at least. And that's what we're actually getting. And also, I've mentioned, as I believe Owen has, that when we talk about gold as a fear and love story, both the fear of everything else propels people to buy gold, and also the sheer love of gold, particularly among the more established or longer-term gold bulls, of which there are an increasing number. So but the fear, I've been mentioning that the fear factor had been ascendant in driving gold prices higher. So when you get a stock market rebound, certainly on plenty of short covering and probably some, and unquestionably some bargain hunting as well, then that creates a headwind for the fear factor buying that gold has been seen, and all it requires is for those buyers to pause, for the price to pull back somewhat. Now, my strategy on gold for the last decade, my personal strategy, has been to buy on setbacks and to lighten on rallies. Certainly, to lighten on rallies if you're using futures. I don't think bullion fund holders need to lighten on rallies unless they feel it's getting too high for their own comfort. And therefore, we may see a little bit of a little bit further pause in range and consolidation by precious metals. That would be healthy, technically, but I would then expect them to also benefit from any significant stimulative from central banks, as would commodities in general. And that brings us back to the commodity inflation pressures. So, There are going to be both headwinds and tailwinds, but whereas monetary policy has been a distinct headwind in some of the in most of the growth economies in recent months, that may be pressure may be abating, and we may see an additional goose in the developed countries in terms of printing money here, basically. And you can bet that plenty of that will flow into commodities as well as stock markets, but it's unlikely to flow into long-dated government bonds, although you do still have the banks playing the yield curve, and you do still have central banks buying some of their own long-term debt. Exciting times. All the best.